Well, good morning. It's a privilege to be with you today. My name is Vince Lamas, and I have the privilege of being part of the series on following Jesus. The last couple of weeks, we looked at Jesus's unexpected touch, his look, and this morning we're going to be looking at his unexpected voice. As we spent time worshiping this morning, we praise God that he is a God that speaks to us. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus made this statement, that my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. Now we know from Scripture, we know even from experience that the Lord does speak to us through his word. And through the Spirit, he speaks through his people, through events, through nature. God is a God who communicates with his followers, with his children. I even know some people that I trust that have told me that they've heard God's audible voice. I've never had that experience, but God's heart to you and I is that he speaks to us. Now, when the Lord speaks to us, he will never contradict his word. He will only say things to you and I that are meant to be good for us, to build us up and to help us. And out in the counter at the care central are these little cards, and I only like the first couple of rows can see them. But on one side it says God's voice, and on the other side it says Satan's voice. And I have found this just a nice little helpful tool to be able to kind of distinguish, because sometimes we hear thoughts that are condemning, that are criticizing, that saying we're no good, we're never going to live up to anything. And we can be assured that that is not coming from the Lord. Because when God speaks to you and I, when we hear his voice, the voice that we hear is a loving voice, it is a good voice. It is a caring voice. And you might be thinking, or some of us might be thinking, well, when God speaks, he only speaks to the super spiritual, right? I mean, he only speaks to board members, or church board members, only speaks to people that works in kids' ministries or something like that. But the reality is this, is that God wants to speak to all of us because he has something very special to say. I'm going to read you this story, because I want to do this before I get too far along and I forget to do this. But it's about the bear and the atheist. An atheist was walking through the woods, admiring all the accidents that evolution had created. What majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals, he said to himself. And as he was walking alongside the river, he heard rustling in the bushes behind him. And turning to look, he saw a 7-foot grizzly bear charging towards him, and he ran as fast as he could. He looked over his shoulder and saw that the grizzly was closing, and somehow he ran even faster, and he was so scared that tears came to his eyes. He looked again, and the bear was getting even closer. His heart was pounding. He tried to run faster, but he tripped and he fell down. He picked himself up, but the bear was right over him, reaching for him with his left paw and raising its right paw to strike him. At that instant, the atheist cried, "Oh my God!" Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. Even the river stopped moving. As a bright light shone upon the man, a voice came out of the sky. "You deny my existence for all these years, teach others that I don't exist, and even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light and said, "I would feel like a hypocrite to become a Christian after all these years, but perhaps you could make the bear the Christian." "Very well," said the voice. The light went out, the river ran, the sounds of the forest resumed. Then the bear dropped his right paw, brought both paws together, bowed its head, and prayed, "Lord, for this food which I'm about to receive, I'm truly thankful." Well, certainly the atheist didn't expect that. And for you and I, there's another matter that at times, as we believe that God speaks to us, sometimes the things that he says to us, we are not expecting. And the things that he says to us surprise us. And so we want to look at some examples this morning in the time we have of some different examples of Jesus' voice as he brought hope, as he brought grace, and as he brought comfort to these different individuals. And so the first one that we want to look at is the number one, his voice brings hope. And we're going to look at the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6, it says, Now he, speaking of Jesus, had to go through Samaria. He had been in Judea, but it says he was going to go through Samaria. And we learn in this passage in verse 6 that Jesus was tired from the journey, and he sat down by the well, and it was about noontime. Now, what is significant about this is that typically Jews would avoid going through Samaria. We have a map that we're going to show you, because typically when a Jew would travel, they would travel from Judea, but they would go around Samaria. But in this instance, though, the passage says that he went through Samaria and he stopped in Sychar. Now that phrase, now he had to go through Samaria, speaks to either trying to expedite time, or perhaps it was even a divine appointment that Jesus had to keep to meet this woman. And so then we do meet her in verse 7 of chapter 4, where it says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Now we recognize from Scripture and from history of the hatred that existed between Jews and Samaritans. And it is interesting that at times Jesus made Samaritans a hero in his story, but there was this intense hatred, this rivalry, as it were. And that's why the woman says to Jesus, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? And then John gives the explanation, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Now, but here was the situation, though, where the Samaritan woman, not expecting this, meets Jesus Christ. And we'll find out later on that when his disciples see Jesus talking to her, they are surprised that they are talking to each other. Now, just by way of summary, we learn some things about this Samaritan woman. One is that she had 5 husbands, and the man that she was with now, she was not her husband. And also significant is this, is that she came and got water at noontime, in the hottest part of the day. Typically in this culture, women would gather water, would draw water, either early in the morning or later in the day, but never at noontime, which speaks to the fact that she was trying to avoid the other women in the village. And whether that was through embarrassment or shame or guilt or fear, whatever that was, she was trying to avoid these other women. But that didn't stop Jesus from coming and speaking to her and making to her an offer of eternal life. In John 4, 13 and 14, as he asked her for some water, he says about the water that she was going to give him, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now for this woman, and I realize that I'm assuming some things here, but I am assuming, though, that this woman didn't have much hope. Whatever pain had taken place in her past, whatever mistakes she had made, whatever consequences she was living with, and whatever she was dealing with in the present, We look at this woman and it seems that she has no hope. She's trying to be under the radar, not being around people. But Jesus reaches out to her and gives to her an offer of eternal life. He even makes the declaration in John 4, 15 through 18. He says, go get your husband. And then she says, well, I don't have a husband. And he says, well, you're right, because the guy you're living with now isn't your husband. Now, in this section of Scripture, Jesus crosses several barriers to get to this woman. He crosses a gender barrier, an ethnic barrier, and even a moral barrier, and even a religious barrier. But that did not stop Jesus Christ from being the voice of hope to this woman and offering her eternal life. Now, as their discussion goes on in John 4, 25 through 29, as she begins to recognize that Jesus isn't just some ordinary man, that he's not just a Jewish man who is just looking for water, but that he is indeed the Messiah and he's offering her eternal life. The woman said in verse 25, I know that the Messiah called the Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared in verse 26, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Now, it says in verse 27, the disciples saw this and they were surprised. That word means that they were amazed that Jesus be talking to this woman, but they didn't say anything. Now, the woman, though, she leaves her water jar, goes back to town and says to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Now, what is important for you and I to note here is that this woman, when we meet this woman, she's showing up at noontime all by herself. She's trying to avoid people. But because of this encounter with Jesus Christ, she goes and she finds the people in her village and says, come and meet this man who told me everything I ever did. He must be the Messiah. And the outcome of all that in John 4:39 is this, is that many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, speaking of Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Now that is absolutely amazing, because she was never expecting that. The disciples were never expecting that. But Jesus' voice of hope comes to her and offers her eternal life. And just even for yourselves, just think of that time in your life where you weren't sure what was ahead of you. You looked at your past, you looked at your present, and you were disheartened. But you met Jesus Christ, though, and he brought hope into your life. Amen? I was 19 when I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And when I was 19, my goal in my life at that time was I didn't want a manual labor job, and I wanted to make money. And so I started college as a political science major because I thought, well, I could become a lawyer and I could make money. You know, or they could make a TV show about me or something. I don't know. But I met Jesus Christ, though. And through him, I realized that he offers eternal life. And that my life through him could mean something. That my life through him could make some good into the world. And so I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And just in this, for this woman, she comes to believe in Jesus Christ. She shares this testimony that the Messiah has come. And the hope that came to her through Jesus Christ also came into this village, and many people believed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's voice brings hope to us. Now, you know, this idea of hope is that we are hopeful. We have this assurance about the future that no matter what is going on now, that there's better days ahead because of Jesus Christ. And that is the hope that he brings to you and I. Now, if you ever hear a voice in your head that says, you know, the future is bleak, you know, you might as well not get out of bed, just be assured that is not the Lord. Because when the Lord speaks to you and I, it is a voice of hope. Now, secondly, number two, his voice brings grace. His voice brings grace. And we're going to look at the story of Jesus blessing the children. Now, it's kind of, kind of interesting this morning. We've had a child dedication. We've talked about kids ministry. And you know, don't forget to fill that out. My wife, Mary, works here at the preschool, and she'll always tell me a story about the kids. And so I'm thankful that she works with the children, you know, but that's all I'm going to say, okay? Not that I don't, but I'm happy that she does. Now during the first century, Jews were convinced at this period of time that one had to earn your way into heaven. And you earned your way into heaven by doing good works. And the conventional thinking of that time was this, is that children could not do good works. And so, in general, the ancient world had a low estimate of children. In the eyes of some Jewish teachers, to talk to a child was a waste of time. And so that is probably why, as we'll see here in just a moment, why the disciples rebuked the people from bringing their children to Jesus. So let's look at Mark chapter 10 and see Jesus' unexpected voice of grace as he blesses these children. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus, and probably 7 years or younger, to him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. And that word rebuke means an intense reprimand. You know, you people, keep your children away from Jesus. He's doing important things. You know, get them back. You know, take them away. The word even gives us the idea, that word rebuke, of a warning to prevent something from going wrong. Right? And, you know, I mean, I hear stories from my wife about kids and the kind of things that they do. I did a wedding one time where the little ring bearer, you know, this was at Margot Dodd Park, if you know where that is, and the little guy lost the wedding ring. You know, thankfully, the best man was able to lend his ring, and we found the ring after the thing, but, you know, you throw kids in the mix, and anything can happen, right? Isn't that true? Anything can happen. And so because of that thinking, the disciples said, you know, keep the kids away. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And that word speaks of a righteous indignation towards his disciples for trying to prevent these little ones from coming to him. And he says this, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. Now you look at a little child, and you see their open hearts and their open hands, their childlike faith. You know, neither one of my boys is in the service, but I remember a time, I could never do it now, but I remember a time if I took a little piece of whatever and said to them, you know, sweetheart, open your mouth. You know, they would open their mouth. Okay, I'm going to put it in. Okay, and they would put it in. I mean, they wouldn't even think about it or even question me, you know, like, you know, well, what is that? You know, that started happening as they grew and they found out the kind of things I was putting in their mouth. they just trusted me. And God says to you and I, trust me like a little child. I have such good and wonderful things for you. And my heart is to bless you. My heart is to pour grace into your life. Just trust me like a little child. And in verse 16, he says, and he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. You know, what a precious moment. And again, with our kids' ministry, the needs that we have, you know, this is a very special time for our church family, for us to be able to step up and to bless our children the way Jesus blessed those children. Amen? Oh, that was pretty weak. Amen? Amen. Okay, that was a little bit better. Now the word bless there's a couple of words for bless in the Greek New Testament. This particular word for bless is the word we get eulogy from when we speak well of someone, right? When we, you know, go to a service and someone gives a eulogy, you know, usually, you know, things are spoken well of that person. Well, Jesus took those children and he blessed them. He spoke well of them. I can just imagine in my mind, here, little Thomas, you know, you just have, you know, such a great smile. you know, little Susanna, you're so special. You just, you know, lighten the world up, right? Can you just imagine that? Of Jesus taking the children in his arms and blessing them, saying kind things about them. And through this, and this obviously was a surprise to the disciples, just in the same way that they were surprised when he was speaking to the Samaritan woman. For Jesus to embrace the children the way that he did was no doubt a surprise to them. And you may be surprised as well to know that when Jesus speaks to you, he wants to bring words of blessing to you, not words of condemnation, not words that say to you, you need to try harder, you need to do better, you're never going to be good enough. That is not God, because the words that he speaks to you and I are words of grace that brings blessing to us. You know, this does remind me, though, that the blessings that I have in my life are blessings because of God's grace and not my accomplishments. You know, I'd like to think, well, you know, I'm a part of this wonderful church family because, you know, I'm so smart, I'm so insightful, I have such a winning personality, right? I don't know why you're laughing at that, but, you know, that's okay. But the reality of this, I am blessed to be a part of this church family. I am blessed to have the family that I do. I am blessed to be in this beautiful area because of God's grace. And you and I, the blessings that God wants to bring into our lives is because of his grace, because of his love for you and I. And you might be surprised by that, the way the disciples probably were surprised. But no doubt it is true that God wants to bless us because of his love, because of his grace. Well, number three, his voice brings comfort. And we're going to look at, for just a few moments, when Jesus announces his departure. Now, at this particular time, the Jews were expecting a military Messiah, one that would come in and be a conquering hero and drive the Romans out. And so when Jesus announced his departure, it was no doubt a surprise and a cause for confusion and concern for the disciples. In John 13:33, Jesus said, I will be with you only a little longer. Where I'm going, you cannot come, but you will follow later, he says. But for the disciples and Simon Peter in verse 36 even says, Lord, where are you going? Because they were not expecting that. But what they were looking at was a temporary solution to this problem that they saw in Rome. But what Jesus is offering to them was something that was eternal. And through his words, he brought comfort. And in John 14, beginning at verse 1, he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know, in this section, he goes on and says that he's going to be sending another helper, another advocate for them. But in essentially what he's saying, that in order for the Spirit to come, this advocate to come, I need to go away, but we are going to be together forever because I will never leave you or forsake you. And in John 14, in verses 16 through 20, looking specifically at verse 18, he says, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. And when I am raised again to life, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You know, Jesus promised something that was eternal. The disciples were looking at this temporary situation. Jesus was offering eternity through faith in him. And as he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' words were meant to bring comfort to those disciples. Now, our church family has experienced quite a few deaths and losses this past year. And I know in this our meeting this morning that we've experienced loss. But Jesus speaks words of comfort to you and I. And we are reminded that for us that are in Jesus Christ, that any separation through death is only temporary, because what Jesus offers is eternal life. In John 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this?
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ brings to you and I comfort in times of heartache, in times of loss, in times of sadness. Our Lord speaks words of comfort to us. We might hear from somebody, "Come on, you need to get over it. You need to move on." But the Lord comes alongside of us, the idea of God comforting us. He comes alongside of us to help us and to give peace in our hearts. Now, again, I realize that for many of us, we've grown up in maybe religious traditions, things that we've learned through popular media. You know, this is how God must speak. But the reality is this, is that God speaks to you and I. He speaks words of hope, grace, and comfort. And at times, things that we might be expecting God to say to us, he says something the exact opposite. God's voice comes to you and I to help us when we need it the most. It is never meant to put us down. It is never meant to harm us. It is always meant to help you and I. And that's the kind of God that he is. Now, 20 or so years ago, I had an uncle pass away. I know you know that I had an uncle just passed away recently, but I had my uncle Sid passed away in 1996, the same year that Mickey Mantle passed away. And I say that only because my uncle Sid was a huge Mickey Mantle fan. And he was great to me. My dad passed away when I was 2 years old, and it was my uncle Sid that would, you know, took me to my first baseball games. He would play catch with me. He would shoot baskets with me. He was probably one of the best guys that I've ever met. I came to faith in Jesus Christ and would share my faith with my uncle Sid, but bless his heart, he'd always kind of hold me off at an arm's distance. I remember one time in particular that I gave what I thought was like the perfect gospel presentation. And I thought, I'm the next Billy Graham. And so I asked my Uncle Sid, you know, "Do you want to ask Jesus into your life?" And he said, "No." And I was just shocked. Well, just over the years, you know, it kind of went that way. I would push and he would kind of pull back. But finally, though, my Uncle Sid had, I'm not sure what it was, some kind of break. He, either with dementia, Alzheimer's, something. But he ended up going into a care facility. And I would go to see him, and it was hard because he would just talk crazy talk. I mean, just kind of out of his head, make no sense. Well, this was down in Los Angeles, and I would go try to see him as often as I could. But there was this one occasion I was down in Pasadena for this conference. But I thought, you know what, he's in downtown LA. I don't want to go into downtown Los Angeles. You know what downtown Los Angeles is like, right? Yeah, you know what that's like. And I had my nice parking spot in the convention center parking structure. It was, you know, nice. I'd paid my money, and I didn't want to leave. But I heard a voice, not an audible voice, but in my spirit, saying, "Vince, go see your Uncle Sid." And I resisted that. You know, I thought, you know what? You know, I got my parking place. I'm going to my conference. You know, I went to to another meeting. It finished. Then I heard that voice, "Vince, go see your Uncle Sid." Well, that happened, you know, a few more times. And then finally I thought, you know what? I'm going to go see Sid. So as much as it broke my heart to lose my parking spot, I drove down the 110 freeway into downtown Los Angeles, and I went to see Sid. And when I got there, I was amazed. It was unexpected, but my Uncle Sid was there. And we talked. We talked about Mickey Mantle. We talked about the New York Yankees and the Dodgers. We talked about movies, and we had a great time. And then finally I said to him, "You know, Sid, I've asked you, you know, for a long time now to ask Jesus Christ into your life. you know, would you do that right now? And he said to me, yes. And he asked Christ into his life, and a few months later he passed away, and I know I'll see him again because he's in heaven because of a faith in Jesus Christ. What Jesus said to me that day was something that I wasn't expecting, but it brought about a good outcome. And the things that Jesus says to you, you may not be expecting it, but what he wants to say to you and I are words of hope, grace, and comfort, because he loves us and because we belong to him. And I pray that you do. And if you don't, there's going to be prayer servants up here in front later on that you can come and pray with and ask Jesus Christ into your life. You could do that right now. Because God's greatest desire for you and I is to build us up and to help us, because he loves us so much. Let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we come into your presence this day thanking you, Lord, for your great mercy, your great love, Lord, for each of us. Lord, I pray that for all of us in this room, Lord, this morning, that you would give us a greater capacity, Lord, to hear what you are saying to us. And Lord, I'd also pray this morning that if you lay upon our hearts, Lord, to share with people, Lord, who need to hear this, Lord, maybe people that would be completely surprised for us to come to them and to share the good news of Jesus, Lord God, would you lay that on our hearts? Would you prepare that meeting? Lord, would you give us the words to say, Lord, that might even surprise someone else? But Lord, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for your great goodness to us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.